Okay.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
All right, fine. Okay, we know what it is. Hi, welcome to the program. I'm Ron Van Dam. How are you? Good to see you. All those niceties. You're wonderful. I'm wonderful. Everybody's wonderful. Your dog is cute. Everybody's fine. Aww. You have a beautiful looking dog. Everything's good. You have a nice looking car. Your family, they're really nice people. Okay. I would get that out of the way. Oh, I've got the sniffles today. Do you? I don't know what it is. I had allergies all through the winter, and I think I'm allergic to human beings. I really do. I'm fine until I realize that I'm surrounded by other humans, and then I start sneezing. What is that? I can't go to my doctor, my family practitioner, my internal medicist, my primary care provider. I got so many names for these people. I can't say, I've been sneezing like crazy. Well, Ron, do you have an allergy? Yes, to people like you. You can't do that. It's insulting to them for some reason. My doctor I think she has a problem. It's a female doctor. I've told you that before. But she wears a lab coat, so who cares? Nothing is more unattractive than a white lab coat, which is what doctors wear. Lab coats never fit. No one does a fitting for a lab coat. The primary care clinic doesn't say, all right, come on in Tuesday, we'll fit you for a lab coat, we'll take your measurements, we'll make sure it's a nice, really good custom-made fitting. They don't do that. You throw on a smock, the coat's like five times too big for you. It's not attractive. You can't tell if this is a woman or a man. You can't tell. It totally hides everything. She's got one problem, and that is she's not from this country, which is fine. That's not the problem. The problem is the culture from which she comes eats a lot of garlic, which is very, very healthy for you. I understand. It's healthy for your body. It's unhealthy for your social life. You freaking stink. You stink. She eats garlic probably every day in every type of food. She probably sautés eggs in garlic. I mean, I don't know. I just don't know. So that's my problem because I have a great aversion to it. I'm not allergic to it. I'm allergic to human beings. I'm not allergic to garlic, but I am allergic to people that smell like garlic. I can't stand it. I can't be in the same room with them. And when you're in an examining room with your doctor, an examining room is a fairly large closet. It's not, I wouldn't even call it a large closet. In many homes, it's not as big as a walk-in closet in your house, off your bedroom. These examining rooms are enough room for the doctor, the patient, about half of a lie-down couch and a stool and maybe a little counter to keep the cotton swabs on. It's a very small, the room is probably no more than 6 feet by 4 feet. I swear, that's all it is. That's all it is. It's awful. And I'm stuck in this place with this woman that reeks of garlic. And, you know, it's not that I can hear her high heels coming down the hall outside of the examining room, and I know she's on her way. It's that I can start smelling her. That's how I know she's getting closer to the examining room in which I will shortly be cohabitating with her. And she comes into the room and she says, "Hi." Oh, the word "hi" shouldn't start with an H that involves total breathiness. The letter H involves breathiness like no other letter. And it's awful. It's just awful. "Hi." Oh, my God. Now, I'm a respectable individual. It may not appear like that, but I am. And I never say, what I would want to say is, "Oh, my God, you stink." Can you get the nurse practitioner in here or some other one of your compatriots? Because you stink. Get away from me. Move away. Towns away. Move towns away from me. You can't say that. You can't do that kind of stuff. I don't know why not. I would love to be the first to do it, but you can't really do that. So what I do is I just tolerate it. And then I get mad. Then I get mad that I'm forced into a position of tolerance when I or my insurance company are paying good money for this meeting of the two minds. One of the minds smelling horrible. So we have some idle chat, and my face starts to contort because I'm trying to find ways to close my nostrils without touching them, because I just don't want to smell her. And then she takes my blood pressure, gets even closer to me. It's just like, oh my God, you have no idea, young lady, how much you stink every single time. Now, I don't know if she listens to this show or not. If she's my doctor, then she knows she's my doctor. My name is on this show. So I don't know if she listens. She knows that I do a radio show, but I pretty much can bet on the fact that she doesn't care. So hopefully she's not listening. If she is, I guess I was able to communicate my feelings without having to say it to your face. I guess that's great. Congratulations to me. She's a wonderful person. She just stinks. I don't know. Did I start the show yet? I can't even remember. Did I do the opening thing? No? Okay.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Okay, I did the New England Broadcasting, but I didn't do this part. Okay, so...
whatever.
Now, all right, so now we start. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. This is proof.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you, everybody? Okay, never. We went through this. We already did this. Let's not repeat. Something I've always wanted to do. I'm not a violent man at all. Ooh, I'm the opposite of violent. I will avoid violence at every cost, and I get violent against people that are violent. But I went to a comedy show a couple of months ago in Boston at a place called Laugh Something, or I don't know what it was. Something Laugh, I don't know. At a Westin Hotel in Boston. And they had a stand-up comic who opened up for another comic. The other comic was Richard Lewis, who doesn't tour very much. You recognize him probably from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Very funny comedian. He's been around forever. And he was the headliner. But the first comic was an insult comic. I don't like insult comics. Donald Trump is an insult comic, for example. Too bad he's not other things, but he's purely an insult comic, and his act sucks. But I digress. So this insult comic gets up on stage and immediately starts acting cocky and stupid. And those two words kind of go hand in hand. Hey, he's pretty stupid, and he's cocky. Hey, he's pretty cocky, and he's stupid. Cocky, stupid, stupid, cocky. He's standing up there and immediately goes to work. Now, insult comics have no act whatsoever. They kind of do improv. There's no act. They just pick out people from the audience and they insult them. And then the rest of the people in the audience laugh at the person that they're insulting. Not with them. They laugh at them. They laugh at their insecurities. It's a disgusting display. So I don't like insult comics, and I was quite appalled when one came on stage. This is a true story. I kid you not. He is methodically going through the front row of the audience. Don't sit at the front row of an audience if there's going to be a comic there, or certainly not an insult comic. And one by one picks them off and insults them. Usually about their racial background, or where they came from, what country, their cultural background, and makes fun of them. A Chinese person, quote unquote, he starts mocking their language, and everybody laughs. And this Chinese person is laughing along, but inside they must be thinking, I'm going to find this guy, and I'm going to kill him after the show. Because it's insulting. You don't want people making fun of you to your face in front of other people, and then people are laughing at you. It's a horrible feeling. One guy, he says to the guy in the audience, "Hey, what's your name?" And he says, "My name is Dick." And he says, "Yeah. Well, I can see why they named you Dick, because you look like one." Everybody laughs. And this guy is saying to himself, "Well, that's not funny." And then he says to the guy, "Who's sitting next to you? Is that your wife?" And he says, "Yes." And the insult comic actually raises his eyebrows and goes, "Ugh." I thought, "Oh my God! Oh my God! Funny or no funny? You don't make fun of somebody's wife, saying that she's ugly. That's not funny." But yet the audience is laughing hysterically. And I'm saying to myself, this is why I don't like human beings. This is exactly why I'm allergic to them, and I sneeze around them. What is so funny about making fun of somebody's wife calling her ugly right there in front of her? Or mocking a Chinese person and their language? It's awful. That's not funny. It's pathetic. And as pathetic as the comedian is and was, more pathetic was the audience actually laughing at that crap. And that reminded me of the Trump presidency. It's not as bad as it is. It's not as bad that Trump acts like the dickhead that he is. But it's that the audience, those that love him, support him. They like him there. They think he's wonderful. They think he's a fine human being. That's the scarier part. It's not Trump. It's the people that like him. That's the problem. But that's not why I bring this up. That's not why. God gave me two gifts in life that I use frequently because of my love of humanity. One gift that God gave me is my height. Probably won't live as long as a short person, but I'm tall. I'm 6'3". There was a point in my life, in my young adulthood, that I was probably even taller than that. I also wore boots a lot, and they have heels. But I am 6'3". I haven't shrunk just yet. So I'm tall. So I'm intimidating. So anybody who's under 5'10" thinks that I will beat the crap out of them, although I could, but I won't. But I loom over them. It's demeaning when to have conversation with somebody, you have to look up to them. And that's the situation that they are in with me. So I relish my height. And when I stand up straight, I look like a skyscraper to these people. They exist in my shadow. That's a benefit number one. Benefit number two is that when I don't smile, which is frequently, I look pretty mean. I look like don't mess with this guy. That's my second God-given attribute. I don't work at it. It just is. So, here I am at this comedy club. And this moron insult comedian is insulting people left and right. I'm sitting in the third row. He comes close to where I am. I'm like two people away from being insulted. And the audience is still laughing and having a great time, and I'm seething. There's probably steam coming out of my forehead. I am so upset about this, so incensed about this. And there's a guy next to me, and he's insulting him and his girlfriend, wife, whatever they are. And then I'm next, and he turns to me, and he looks at me, and I'm ready for him. And he stares at me, and I stare at him. Now, I'm not standing up, but just shoulder height, my shoulders are a lot higher than the guy next to me and the next girl next to me. I look large. Not fat, but large. We stare at each other another second. I accentuate my natural scowl. And my eyes pierce toward his. Before he can even open his mouth, my eyes pierce. My eyebrow kind of moves in the direction of incredible seriousness. My face is projecting a don't mess with me kind of projectile right up to the stage to his face. And he looks at me. And this takes place within a matter of 2 seconds. It's instantaneous. I scowl at him. He looks at me. And here's what he says to me. He points and he says, I'm not messing with him. I'm not messing with him. And he goes on to the next person. Wow, what a talent I have. That was a dramatic time. I forced an insult comedian to say to me, I'm not messing with him. My God, that was an achievement. Well, the incel comic's time is over. He says, thank you. I love all of you. And I say to myself, well, that was a fine display of love that you just gave. And he walks off stage and he's done. And I'm done. And I felt good, man. I felt good. You know what, Ron? You don't have many talents, but that's not even a talent. You just are that. And that was just so comforting. I am insult comic proof. If I had other attributes beyond that, that would be probably great, but I don't. Those are mine. I believe that when God creates human beings, if we're going to go that route, that everybody gets a couple of head starts. You know, maybe you're an incredible piano player. You were given the gift of music. Or you're incredibly intelligent, you were given the gift of brains. Or you help other people, the homeless, and you feed people, and you work with, you know, people in trouble, and you're given the gift of love and of compassion. All that was left over for me after creating humanity was the gift of scowling and height. Not too high where I'd have to be a basketball player to the point where if someone said, my God, you're tall, you must play basketball, and I'd have to respond by saying, no, I don't. That wouldn't be good, you see. So I'm not that tall, but tall enough to be intimidating. And this natural scowl on my face that was created in order for this, Ron, the animal, to exist amongst this world, to actually mold myself into this habitat. Oh, my God. What the hell's going on here? What are your attributes? You can email me and tell me, but I think that would be rather small of you and certainly ridiculous, so don't do it. All right, we're going to take a short commercial break, and when we come back, there's going to be more program for you. Here's a public service announcement.
Are you aware that one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap? Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
Have you ever wondered how Ron Van Dam manages to sound so damn sexy podcast after podcast after podcast? It's simple. No pants. Ever. Pants are for suckers. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Pants-free podcasting at its finest.
Today's a special day. I'm wearing pants. Just for you. Just for you. My guest today is quite interesting, I believe. We've always regarded our postal employees to being just fantastic people. They deliver the mail in rain, sleet, snow. Unless there's a lot of rain, sleet, and snow, then they don't. But usually they do. They put up with incredible things on their routes. And they're lovely people. Some of them go postal. I don't know what that means. I think you do. I've not seen a lot of that more than in any other industry where people, office workers, they go crazy too. But for some reason, we've invented this phrase, going postal, as losing your mind. Kind of interesting. I guess there was a time in our history when postal employees were murderers. I really don't know how that came down, but whatever. One of the great problems that postal employees have in delivering the mail, dogs. Dogs. Dogs should always be leashed, and if they're on your property, I guess you don't have to leash them, but the second that they step off your property, that's wrong. In my neighborhood, there are a few dogs that just roam the neighborhood, and as much as I love dogs, I don't want anything to happen to them, so I'm befuddled. I'm befuddled about that. I don't think it's the dog. I think it's the dog owner. Again, it's like the Trump and the Trump supporter. It's not the dog. It's the dog owner that apparently has no concept. My dog couldn't possibly bite somebody. Then they do. Well, then they must have been intimidated to bite them because my dog just doesn't bite. Oh, God, please, please wake up out of your dream. So postal employees go through a lot of stuff. These days, a lot of them just stay in the truck, which is nice. But it's a problem. So who better to speak about this problem than an actual postal employee or the United States Post Office, the USPS for short? Let's talk to them now. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Ron. How are you today?
I'm great, thank you. Linda DiCarlo is the U.S. Postal Service's Manager of Safety and OSHA Compliance Program. She's the Manager of Safety with the United States Post Office. And thanks for being with us. I guess no one knows more about dog safety than postal employees, according to cartoons.
You've absolutely got that right. I can't tell you how many times we hear, "Don't worry, my dog won't bite." Well, let me tell you, if it's got teeth, it's going to bite. And chances are it's going to be your carrier or your kids.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, that's true. So what can we do about this? It's nice but odd that pet owners think that their pets are the best pets ever. Their dogs don't bite, they're wonderful, and yet they do things like that. I guess it's kind of like not being in denial about how to take care of things.
Exactly, and that's really what National Dog Bite Prevention Week is all about. You know, we have another saying here at the Postal Service that even good dogs have bad days. And there are just a few simple things that pet owners can do to become responsible pet owners and protect anybody who's coming to their house, whether it's the letter carrier, the cable guy, or just your neighbor knocking on the door. The first is, before you answer the door, put your dog in another room, close the door, and then go greet your visitors.
Right.
The second, you know, as it relates to letter carriers, is we ask you to please tell your kids not to take the mail directly from the carrier when they're in the presence of the dog. You know, we've got to understand it's protecting the house, it's protecting the family. And here we come, just walking right up to the front door, knocking, startling it in some instances. And their first instinct is to protect the kids. One of the other big pieces that I think, you know, helps stress the need for responsible pet ownership is that people need to understand that if our carriers don't feel safe delivering to your house because of your dog, we will cease mail delivery until such time as we feel safe again.
Good.
And if that dog's running loose through the neighborhood, you can impact all your neighbors as well.
Yes. That's my biggest problem is dogs that run through the neighborhood and their owners just don't seem to care. They think it's perfectly fine, but it's not. And the incidence of dog bites are actually quite high. I was looking at some of the data here, and a lot of people, Americans, are bitten by dogs annually.
Yeah, that number is about 4.5 million,
ow,
and most of those are kids and the elderly. You know, we had 6,200 plus dog bites to letter carriers this year alone. You know, our numbers are going down, but one is too many.
What about dogs who are loose but on their own property? In other words, I guess law-wise, if whatever happens on your property is fine, but as soon as the dog strays off the property, it's not good. But postal carriers and people that come to your house, they do have to go onto the property.
Absolutely. And we do a lot of efforts to train our carriers on how to respond to dog attacks and also to be able to recognize some dog behaviors. We start right from the very first day they're hired and teach them how to use their satchel to create a barrier, how to use dog spray.
Sure.
We've even implemented some technological solutions that help alert carriers. You know, you've all seen them with the blue scanners that when they're delivering mail, they scan your envelope so that it shows delivered. Well, that scanner also will elicit a warning tone as a carrier is approaching a home that has a known dog at residence.
That's a cool technology.
So, it's exactly, and it's not intended to stop delivery. It's simply intended to get our carriers to be aware and alert and to know that they may need to respond quickly. It's not just a regular, normal delivery to an empty house.
Yeah. My letter carrier does something really nice, and I don't know if it's in a response to anything, but they never see my dog at all. But if I'm walking my dog, the letter carrier will put a dog biscuit in my mailbox just to show friendliness. I mean, it's very, very cool. So I guess there is an awareness of this.
There is, and you know, there's a bit of a double edge to that activity. I'm glad to hear that he's putting it in the mailbox and not handing it directly to the dog, because you also have to understand that next carrier who might be replacing him on his day off doesn't know that dog's waiting for a treat.
Yes.
So it causes as many problems as it helps. But I'm glad to know that you realize that we're not anti-dog. We're really just pro responsible pet ownership.
Yeah, well, putting it in the mailbox is certainly not. It's, you know, you can't. I mean, if you see a strange dog, you should never go up to it and pet it. You don't know the reaction of the dog or the history of the dog or what the dog may have gone through, just as a person may have gone through some trauma in their life and they react differently than you think that they would. So, yeah, I mean, it's man's best friend and women's too. But also, hey, I don't get along with people either, so it's okay. Yeah, if only you could protect yourself from people, then you'd have yourself a real deal going here. Okay.
Exactly. You know, I started out by saying if it has teeth, it'll bite. That includes people and kids.
You're right. That's absolutely right. And sharks. Never deliver mail to the ocean. Not a good idea.
There you go. Okay. That's our next bite prevention
right,
week.
That's right. You could have a lot of bite prevention weeks going on here through the whole year. No, the Postal Service is wonderful. I mean, it's they're sensitive to it, and it's great. And of course, many of them are dog owners as well, so they get it. It's just
absolutely. And we urge your listeners to make sure they check out the additional information that we have available to families, pet owners. You can find a lot of great stuff at avma.org or at hashtag PreventDogBites.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It was good. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Ron.
Take care, Linda. Bye-bye.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you for your mail and thank you for your service. Hashtag service, hashtag mail, hashtag. We're out of time for today. Hashtag I'll be back again the next weekday that rolls around. Hashtag listen then. Hashtag thank you so much for your patronage of the program. Hashtag I wish you peace. Hashtag, hey, hashtag. Hashtag.
Whatever.